I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armel.
And I'm Molly Malshine. And finally, a real good movie about a short little bisexual man. Saltburn. This was a bisexual short king double feature in pop culture over the last week. Maestro.
Wow.
And Saltburn.
I can't believe we're on the part two of the episode from last time.
I guess so.
Bro, it's one of the funniest episodes. Like, it makes me laugh out loud because we are idiots.
I know.
It's one of the most idiotic. We both didn't watch the movie and did an hour long. You still had 30 minutes left.
But it was 9 hours long. Okay.
But that's still not the integrity of the movie.
I know. Did you? So, okay. Here's something that I wish I said last week when we were talking about Maestro.
Okay.
Is it's such an interesting topic, like a bearding relationship. Is he actually attracted to her? Is he gay? Is he bi? There are so many rumored beard marriages in the entertainment industry, and somehow the movie made it so boring. For some reason, like, wouldn't you? I would love to see like a real honest portrayal of like a bearding marriage that is funny and goes there. And there was also like, I mean, he barely even hooked up with any dudes. It was weird. It was like the movie, they want to get Bradley Cooper the Oscar credit of playing gay, but he didn't even actually.
But he's like, I'm not kissing that many guys.
Right. He didn't even have to do anything.
It's funny.
He drummed on one guy's butt cheeks. Like, whatever. Yeah.
I love that.
But anyway.
But no, real quick, I know what that movie that you are longing for is. It's delightful. It's delicious. It's called De Lovely. The story of Cole and Nancy Porter, which actually, not only is it one of the greatest beard love stories, gay as shit, but also loving as hell between the man and wife, but yeah, it was a trauma for me. We went as a family to see it in the city for some holiday. And at the time, I was madly in love with my Broadway boyfriend. And I had to sit away from my family because I was like heave weeping. And then
did
I was really journaling.
Was gay?
I did. And I was watching that movie going like, I will be your Nancy Porter. I can be your Nancy Porter. Different rooms, but same last name.
Wow.
I was in love with him. And like, even thinking about that makes me cringe because it's like, it's one thing, like, if you like, you know, have a sexual relationship with friends that you've broken up with and kind of always know that you can kind of flash your pussy pang at them and just kind of know you can always get them back. Looking back now, though, I'm so humiliated at how long I kept the chase up. Years I was sending him love letters. I was so in love with him. And I really cringe now looking back, just knowing like he simply didn't feel the same.
I mean, it can happen with a fully straight guy too, though.
Nah.
Not to you.
No, if I fucked you once, you'll always fuck me again forever.
You should put that on your website.
That's my Real Housewife intro.
Yeah.
Anybody who fucked me once is in my jaws for life.
Unless they're into musical theater.
Well, but yeah, that's the thing. It's like Josh and I didn't really, we had sex one time. His dick was soft and he cried. And I was like, it's okay.
Well, you used his real name. Should that go in?
He'd be proud.
Okay.
And I'm so proud of him. He was Jean Valjean as a junior.
8-6-7.
You understand?
What was his jail number?
867-5309.
I know. That's what I was going to say. 25601.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God. Wait. We did you like a
mattress? Not 867. 5-3 whatever. That's a song from the 80s. Okay, Saltburn. Saltburn was night and day experience for me. compared to Maestro. It held my attention. I had no idea that I needed a British upper class aesthetic with a freshman year of college soundtrack. Like, oh my God, the 2000s nostalgia mixed with the Crown / Downton imagery. Oh my God, I didn't know I needed that so badly, but it really just, it hit me. I loved it. I loved like I was in from the very beginning.
I wasn't in from the very beginning. I mean, well, no, that's not true. I was in with Elordi. Then when the guy yelled at the table right at the beginning, I was like, I hate it. It was a journey for me for sure. But like that.
Wait,
is because
the guy
I
yelled at the table?
He was like, ask me to do math.
What? I don't remember that.
Oliver is meeting his new friends and he's like upset because he's like, I'm a dork and you're a dork. And we're just here stuck at this dork table where I really want to be over with the cool guy and suck Elordi's dick. So the guy's like, I'm a genius. And he's like, oh, so whatever, I'm a genius too. We're at Oxford. And he's like, no, I'm a math genius. And he's like, oh, okay. And he's like, ask me to do math. And Oliver was like, no. And he was like, I'm going to feel my skin.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, at that point, I was like, whoa, like, what is this movie even? Rosamund Pike, who I don't always like, really did it for me. She
oh my
was
God.
When I started to get interested because I thought, wow, this is the funny performance.
She was so funny.
Funny.
Yes. Like when she said, oh, it's so sad in Liverpool. They don't have rehab. So they all just go to ruin. That was the funniest shit. Like the idea that you would think that the only thing keeping a society from going to ruin is Promises Malibu. Like so funny.
100%.
So funny. And then Carey Mulligan popped up and she was funny.
Can you
too.
Believe Carey Mulligan popped up again though?
After what? All the shit we talked about her and she was funny
she
as
was
hell.
Funny.
Her outfit was funny. Her hair was funny. Like I had to eat my hat.
Well, I'm just looking up the Oxford language definition of mulligan, an extra stroke allowed after a poor shot, not counted on the scorecard. Wow. If this is not a mulligan, I don't know what.
I know.
She was not the lead beard. She was kind of just like popping on in a role that 10 years ago would have gone to Emma Thompson.
Yeah, yeah. It also, I have to say, in Maestro, she gets, I liked her more toward the end. I didn't think she had a bad performance. She gets a little more hardened and bitter toward the end, and it's more fun to watch. But yeah, that is so funny, Mulligan. I also, the only thing that was weird with her character, not her, obviously, in Saltburn, is her character sounded exactly like the cousin Farley's mom.
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't the same. And it was like, why did you have basically that same character twice? Why didn't you just make that Farley's mom? Maybe she did in an earlier version of the script and then changed it because it didn't work or something. I don't know. It was kind of weird, but that's not really a big deal.
Well, no, I agree. Did you see, what is her name? Emerald Fennel? It sounds like a salad I would order.
Yes, she played Camilla on The Crown. You know that, right? I know.
Stop everything.
She played Camilla in Diana's first season.
Wow. Hey, Daph. Welcome to ZD to the mic. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Aw, cutie.
Yeah, she's already laughing. This is a good pod. So, yeah.
That was a cry, not a laugh, but we'll pretend.
We're going to Foley a laugh. I'm going to put my... I'm going to throw it in after. It's theater.
It is. Yes. But yeah, she directed Promising Young Woman also.
Did you see that?
No, but I saw the discourse around it, which was annoying and made me not see it. And now that I'm seeing the discourse around Saltburn and how off it is, I'm like, now I need to watch Promising Young Woman. Because the thing about Saltburn, a lot of the criticism from film Twitter has been like, oh, there was no substance. There was no like message. There was no moral or whatever. And it's like, well, they're not saying moral, but that's what they want. They wanted it to be more of an eat the rich kind of thing, I think. And it's like,
I mean,
well,
it is very literally an eat the rich type of thing. He literally kills all the rich.
He fucks them all. And then
it is eat the rich.
Out of their property. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, but people are taking this weird, like sort of didactic approach, like, oh, there needs to be a message. And I just think actually, if something's that fun to watch, I don't think there needs to be a message. It can just be a weird guy doing shit.
So, two nights ago, I revisited one of my all-time favorite movies, Drop Dead Gorgeous. And
oh my God.
I'm so thankful that it held up.
One of the greats
of all time. Like, made me want to make movies. Like, I was like, wow, this is like, I wish my name was on this somewhere. Like, I just loved it. And in a way, it's like sort of the same thing that you're saying, which is that, like, it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's like you get to watch a movie that takes you on a journey. There's a little bit of mystery. There's a little bit of surprise, but it's a lot of comedy. It's really these very vibrant characters all kind of doing, well, all very much doing satire. So, yeah, I feel like now, because it's just basically like the plague and wars and we're kind of on the brink, we're all looking for something deeper and something more. Yeah. Can't we just go to the movies and have some fun? Without it being Taylor Swift or Beyonce?
Right. Can it just be a caper?
That is such a good way to put it. It's a caper.
Yeah. And then I also think that, like,
this could have been done with the Muppets.
Yes. Oh, my God. That would have been great. Just Barry Keoghan and all Muppets. Oh, my God.
I would love to see that.
I think that it did have a message. Part of the message was, ew, I hate middle class people. Because Emerald Fennell is super, so this is something really interesting that I know I've talked about before, but it's one of the weirdest things about British, the difference between British and American culture that yes. fascinates me. Middle class in America, everyone pretends they're middle class. Right. Rich people do, poor people less so. Now it is becoming more valorous to be like, to say you grew up working class in America, but it used to totally. Be that everyone said, oh, I grew up middle class. I was totally down the middle. That's what everyone says. When in reality, some of them are rich, some of them are poor, some of them are middle. Like, middle class is the American dream. To be able mm-hmm. to work and buy a house and provide for your family, that's middle class, and that's the American dream. Middle class in the UK is the worst thing you can call someone.
Mm.
Whether you are upper class or working class, you are united in hatred of the middle class. So it was so funny to me that what this guy, Barry Keoghan's character does, I don't know how to say it. I need Nick to get down here. It's Keoghan, I think, but it might be Keoghan. I don't know. Sorry, Irish listeners.
Where
Someone
is he?
Tell
oh,
us.
Is he an Irishman?
Oh, yeah.
You want to know how I was reading his name?
How?
Barry Keoghan.
That's better than most people would think.
Hell yeah. I also have a rec for a new Irish show that I've been loving.
What is it?
Smother on Peacock.
Okay, I'll look for it. Before I get into the middle class thing again, Barry Keoghan's, he has an incredibly interesting backstory. He grew up like in poverty and raised by his grandma and saw a poster for acting contest or something somewhere, and now he's in all these Oscar bait movies. He was in Banshees of Inisherin. He was in Dunkirk. He's a real rising star, and he's always weird as fuck. Like, I'm obsessed with him. But anyway, in the UK, middle class is a huge insult because it means basically they didn't have a middle class here until fairly recently, in terms of, like, you know, how old the country is. So mm-hmm. everyone who's middle class is basically someone who clawed their way out of working class.
Wow.
And that is seen as very undignified. Like, the fact that you would want to rise a level is gross and disgusting.
You should just, like, have a shitty life.
Yeah, exactly. So okay. It's so funny to me that, like, the turning point of this movie, when we are supposed to, and when Jacob Elordi becomes disgusted by yeah. the Barry character, Oliver, is when he finds out that he's middle class. That to me was like
yeah.
such a funny in-joke of British society that, like, oh my God, ew, you grew up with a two-parent home? Ugh. And, like, your parents go fishing? What? Like, that is so funny that was the... And that's, like, such a great satire of her own class, because Emerald Fennell is very upper class. And I think...
Really? That's interesting.
Yes. I think that's why people are mad at this movie, because they're annoyed because she's, like, a sort of a British upper crusty Nepo baby, like Phoebe Waller-Bridge. But sorry, sometimes Nepo babies are good at stuff. Sorry.
Dude,
sometimes
for sure.
Sometimes people that are born rich actually are good at stuff. I think she's a good enough director that I can forgive the richness, you know?
Well, I mean, this is only her second feature. Like, she's at the very least building a portfolio of work that is edgy, risky, and is definitely shaping up to have its own voice already.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this had a real, like,
it had a real aesthetic. Voice.
It had a point yeah. of view. It yeah. was, I loved it. I couldn't stop. I wanted it to be longer. Like, it was the yeah. same length as Maestro, but I wanted it to continue.
I enjoyed having it on so much that while I was just cleaning this house before, I just had it on in the background because it was just, like, nice to have on.
Yeah, I will do that in the future. It will become a magnet.
It's
for me.
There are funny lines, right? It's like, but you can kind of zone in and out once you know the plot. I feel like part of what maybe is going on with the Twitter discourse is that people just don't have context for the British social class system. It's like, oh, that's his anger. His anger is that, like, he wants more. Like, he doesn't have enough. He wants more. He's not really allowed to have more. He has to play having less in order to get all of the more that he actually wants. And I feel like in the United States, we don't really understand, like, because I think that's, I did kind of have that feeling too at the end where I was like, I wanted to know more about, like, what actually is wrong with him a little bit. Like, I was like, well, wait, like, you know, what happened to you when you were a kid, Oliver, you know? But, like, actually, the bottom line is that it's like, it's the culture that makes the middle class probably relatively psycho.
Yeah. And Jacob Elordi and his family are done in by their, they are fetishizing.
Right. She's not like so pro, like, upper class, though. She's like, these people are idiots.
Yeah, they're fetishizing this lower class guy, this working class guy,
right?
Because they want to be his saviors. And when it turns out that he's just like an evil son of a probably like teacher and lawyer or something.
Literally, yeah.
They're like, hey, wait a minute. We didn't agree to give that person all this stuff. And he's like, well, it's like, well, why not? Because he also doesn't have this stuff. Why does it have to be someone who's on a scholarship, you know?
The Felix character and his family, they were just like, you're a liar, bye.
Right. And he knew that if he was middle class, he never would have been invited there.
Right. He was. What struck me without even thinking about the class stuff, I was like, oh, he's just like a capitalist.
What do you mean?
Like, he had a plan that was demented, but he had a plan to move up a level in life and get the money and get the house. And he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you think was his mindset of, like, do you think he went in there because he was in love with Felix and then the plan just grew out of that? Or do you think he always thought, I'm going to find a rich person at Oxford and, like, kill their whole family and steal the shit?
I think that was his plan the whole time. And I think that when he masturbates on Felix's grave after, I took that as like a specific, because I was thinking that too. I'm like, oh, is this just like talented Mr. Ripley for the younger set, you know? But then I'm like, oh no, when he jerks off on the grave, you realize, like, oh, this guy is just like, he's getting off on his own success.
Do you want to know something really horrifying that I learned online?
Yeah, definitely.
Barry Keoghan, he improvised when he fucked the grave. That was not,
but you
in
know
the
what
script.
I actually really like that. That makes me like him and it more. It's clarifying. I think his character is making a choice to share with us that he just gets off on him getting off.
I guess so. Isn't that so funny?
He could be like the new Ezra Miller. Like, now we can't quite trust Ezra Miller with Marvel franchise stuff anymore, now that he's like kidnapping Native Americans and going on the lam. So, like, I just feel like Barry has sort of the same look. Like, yeah. I just feel like he could be what Adam Driver ultimately will not be able to be.
What do you think?
Which is Adam hireable. I just think he's
you
not
think
hireable.
Adam Driver's hireable?
Oh, wait. Adam Driver's not who I mean. I mean the
Ezra
Flash.
Miller. Yeah, Ezra you Miller. Said Ezra Miller first and then you switched to Adam Driver.
Oh, okay. The other thought I had was, if Ezra and Adam had a baby, it would look exactly like Barry Keoghan.
Yeah, like, there are definitely, they definitely
if
are.
If anybody knows how to pronounce his name, totally please let us know.
It's definitely Keoghan.
Keoghan?
Keoghan.
Keoghan.
Because if you take away the K, that's Owen in Irish.
Oh. What is K in Irish?
K is still K.
So it's Keoghan. So you're right. Keoghan.
Yeah, it's like Keoghan.
Keoghan. Keoghan. I see what you're saying. Keoghan.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Someone will let us know. But anyway, yeah, isn't that crazy that he improvised that? And that was his real.
I fucking love it. You want to guess what his sun and moon are?
He has to. I mean, something Scorpio.
Well, he does have something Scorpio, but his sun is in La 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 Libra.
No way.
And his moon is exactly conjunct his Mars in, where the full moon is right now, Cancer.
Wow. So he is a soft boy with an eye.
He's a soft boy with an eye for design and not afraid to do a little gay stuff.
You're the one who's dated a gay guy.
Right.
So obviously it's not deal breaker.
No, I didn't say it was deal breaker at all. Are you kidding me? I would weep to be your Nancy Porter. I want to hitch my cart to your wagon. You're a star, Josh. Still down. Still fucking down, bro. No, go look at Josh Morgan on Instagram. If every post that he posts where it's his face, I'm like, my prince, my husband, I love you.
Barry Keoghan, he dates women.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fucking dope.
Okay.
Okay. Ezra Miller is out. Barry Keoghan is in.
Yeah, I agree. Barry's got a very bright future ahead of him.
Oh, and he's a moon conjunct Mars in Cancer. So he is extremely aesthetic and then like emotionally impulsively driven, which I think is definition jerk off on the grave.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to come up with that on the spot. And then in the interview, he's like, you know, it just really felt like what this character is going to do, which is usually the douchiest thing to ever hear someone talk about. But I don't know why from him. I'm like, okay.
Because it was a great call. I just, without even knowing that, said that was like the clarifying moment of the film for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great instincts.
Yeah.
He's going to have a big career.
He stole the show in Banshees of Inisherin. You saw it, right? Cool.
No, I didn't see it. Is it worth it? They have a fabulous setup here. It's like basically like watching a movie theater.
Yes, watch it.
Oh my God, cool. I just felt like it's very sad.
It's existential. It's sort of like, I don't know. It sort of feels like waiting for Godot. You know what I mean? Like,
It's
not as spare and minimalist, but it's the same kind of what's the point of anything we're doing.
Yeah, but you know what the point is for me, and I know that you know this. It is watching the cliffs of Inisherin.
Right, it's gorgeous. That's good.
Have you watched Sing Street yet?
No, I'm going to someday. I don't know why I just haven't. I know.
Thank you. I'll trade you Inisherin for Sing Street. Okay, good.
Okay. What else can you tell me about Barry's chart? I don't think he's going to get an Oscar for this one, but that's okay. And this one is too weird to really get Oscars. I don't know if it will even be nominated. What do you think?
I do not think it will, no.
But they,
because the other piece of it is that I think it's very much like a, even though this too, like Maestro, had like a brief stint in theaters for 15 minutes, I feel like this was made for Netflix. I feel like this is like just, or whatever, Prime. I feel like this is made for streaming.
I don't think so. I thought it was so cinematic and I loved the cinematography and everything. I thought it was really visually amazing in a way that most stuff that's made for streaming is crap.
I agree with that. I'm spoiled because I watch all of the Irish soap operas now and like it's cinematic as fuck. Like I think it's gorgeous, but I guess to me, like the difference between the 2 hours and some odd change of Maestro versus this, just in terms of the emotional expectation of it, is like this I actually put on again and had it in the background. So when I say streaming, it's not that it's not gorgeous or fabulous. It's that it's like, you could watch it in chapters. You can kind of watch chunks of it. Like, it is a comedy. And, like, I feel like Maestro was like, you better sit here for this whole piece so that you see the integrity of the art. Whereas I felt like this art had integrity, but it also was just, like, the way that, like, Desperate Housewives was super watchable. This is just, like, super watchable.
Yeah. Maestro took itself too seriously. That's a huge issue for me.
Yeah.
Anything. When anything takes itself too seriously, I'm out. I'm out immediately. Whereas with Saltburn, you immediately knew that it had a sense of humor. Somehow, even just the font in the beginning of the title.
I know. I loved the title cards. I loved them.
Yeah, I was like, I'm in.
What do you think the significance of the name Saltburn is?
I know. I was thinking, like, when you can burn yourself. You can get a burn from salt that doesn't come from fire, obviously. It happens without you knowing it. But then,
that's interesting.
Yeah, you don't realize it's burning you.
Ooh.
At the end, they were comparing him to a moth and everything.
They were comparing him to a moth. They were comparing him to a snake. They were comparing him to like a centaur.
The one thing I didn't like was the flashbacks at the end that revealed how he did everything.
Oh.
When he is, I don't know where he's supposed to be when he's doing sort of this narration that pops up every once in a while, which first of all was completely unnecessary. I mean, they say when you're learning film and screenwriting, narration is usually a bad idea, and it is.
If you guys don't know, we're film students.
Yes, it added nothing. Like in The Great Gatsby, how they added the narration, it does nothing. If you want to, like, it just adds nothing. So they had the narration from him. And at one point, while he's sitting wherever that is, they show.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, they show him putting the tack into Elordi's bike tire. They show him putting the razors on the bathtub. And you're just like, oh, I didn't need to see exactly how he did everything. Like, I was already on board for he's kind of slowly killing everybody. I didn't need to have it elucidated like that. And it kind of ruined it. Like, I would have preferred it to be a little more open-ended, because now I'm like, okay, well, I guess he didn't kill the dad, because they would have shown how he did it, but it would have been fun to try to think about how he killed the dad. And how did
I feel like maybe he did kill the dad, but they like cut it out because they were like, damn, this is like already 2.5 hours long.
Right. Like, it just, I don't know. It just wasn't my favorite choice.
Mm. Yeah. I guess to me, the point of it was that it was like, well, it was obviously meant to be like this big reveal and this big like, oh my God, like Kaiser Soze moment. But I feel like it was just actually answering the question of like, he's not in love with Felix. He's in love with his plan. And it worked.
Okay, yeah. I think he also was in love with Felix, because I think he's really fucked up. Because they showed how he was lying to his parents all the time also. Like,
right, he was just sort of a, yeah, he was sort of a,
he was a pathological liar.
And that's Alfie. I also think it's kind of interesting, even just like as a part two of last episode accidentally, it's also interesting that this is Emerald's second offering, similar to Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
This is like literally like they're neck and neck in terms of like whose directing career is blossoming better.
Yeah. I want to see Promising Young Woman, because I thought that A Star is Born was more enjoyable than Maestro, and
yes,
I would be interested to see it, which one's better between Promising Young Woman and Saltburn.
Emerald Fennell's chart is Libra Sun, Taurus Moon, which makes sense to me because they're both just Venusian signs. Like, she just wants to make beautiful things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bradley's Cap Sun with Libra Moon is why he's erring on the side of I'm a director wearing prosthetic face. Because he's like, I'm a Capricorn sun, so I'm going for status. But on an internal level, my moon just wants to design and decorate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to watch Promising Young Woman. Maybe that could be part of the Patreon too. But like, what this movie struck me as without even seeing any of the astrology, like, this could have been Gone Girl, but it's just with him. Like, I felt like this was a picture of the dark feminine, which men contain as well. Like, he was a dark feminine character to me, though.
Ooh, say more.
Like, The insidious, is that the right way to say it?
Insidious.
Insidious, thank you. Lol. The insidious nature of his character, not in like a typical like criminal way, but in a way where he was really embodying this, like, you know, it's like, how do you get a guy? Invite him over and ask for help. You know, like, he was sort of like playing this damsel in distress character.
Yes.
Like Kim, like, I didn't mean to make a sex tape. And it's like, wait, you brokered the deal? We don't know, but it's possible. And it would make sense.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. And
I'm not saying anything about Kim and that sex tape. I'm just more making a comparison. The dark feminine operates in the occult behind closed doors where no one can see.
Wow, like a moth.
Yes. And or like a snake. Right. Yeah. Those are all like very, like, it was almost like, he's like in the Garden of Eden and he's the temptation.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Cause I think they did a really good job of, like, in rewatching it, I was only sort of half rewatching it, but I enjoyed it the second time, partially because you then see what, like, cause when you start watching for the first time, you're like, wow, what a dork. Then the second time around, you're like, he has so much sexual prowess and he's actually the fucking man. Like,
and he's
the
hot. Movie,
and he's hot. Like, by the end of the movie, not only is he fucking hot, but the second time you watch, you're like, oh my God, like, this guy literally is going to be the next Flash. He just, sorry, Ezra. Barry's in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What about how...
He'll be doing, I'll tell you what, he won't get anything for this, but he will be doing Marvel movies in no time.
I hope so.
He has Marvel movie bigness.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He takes over the screen in every scene he's in. He takes over in Dunkirk. Like, I remembered his face from Dunkirk, even though he was, like, one of a gazillion just, like, gorgeous young men on boats in that movie. But, like, you still remember.
That's even more of a flex, though, because he shouldn't have stood out, but he does.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What about, what do you make of the fact that, like, Gen Z allegedly is horrified by all the sex stuff? I was dying laughing. The bathtub scene. Nick turns to me while we were watching it and goes, and that's after your one just blew his beans in there.
You're like, yeah, man. I was like, we just watched.
Thank you.
We just watched, and dude.
Just
we know.
The way he said it, blew his beans.
I was like, that's really cute. That's very funny.
I get it. But they were horrified. Apparently, Gen Z film watchers were very horrified by all the weird sex stuff. And it's like, well, yeah,
really?
He's a little weirdo. He's supposed to be a little weirdo. And none of it was like I was definitely saying ew the whole time, but I wasn't like, this is an outrage.
It was this, it was like in the same vein of like in Jennifer's Body burning her tongue. It's like, it was just filmmaking. Like,
yeah.
It was, but it was harmless. I mean, this wasn't like explicit. It was just kind of gross sometimes, but they were just, it was just all character development.
Yeah. And like,
because I think they were showing that the way that he infiltrated, and it's again very divine feminine, is to kind of be this. I mean, yeah, aside from his obviously like weird sexual proclivities that have nothing to do with sexuality, it's more just like gross stuff, like really deeply, weirdly intimate. But like, yeah, I feel like I'm surprised that Gen Z has a problem with it, because I feel like from what I know from my brief time on TikTok, it's very like anything goes. So I don't know what was so nothing about him was offensive. He was just like sort of in deeply intimate kind of gross taste.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah,
drinking totally. Someone's period blood is something that, or I guess drinking, it's not something that happens unless you're Angelina Jolie's brother, but like
interacting with it.
Interacting with it. Like, I've definitely like men have gone down on me when I've had my period. I've been like, are you sure? And they're like, ah. But it's like, okay, that happens, and it is really intimate, and it's really kind of gross, but also kind of sexy. So I feel like Emerald is just playing on all of the things like that are weird, and then just pushing it one step over the edge, which is like why it's a movie and not real life.
He's yeah, like
they're just like, they're just heightening what's weird already.
You could see how Venetia, that character, would then trust him for life because she's
right.
So
yes,
self-conscious.
Exactly.
She's so self-conscious. She's so into what other people think of her.
That's
she
right.
Is seeking approval. And for this guy to be like, oh, you're on your period, I don't care, would be mind-blowing to her.
Not like, only I don't care, but I like it. I want it. When I do unsavory things to men that have never been done to them before, unless they were in the locker room, which I will never tell about, I own them.
Yeah, I could see how you would feel that way.
But I think that's what I'm saying, though. He's divine feminine in that way, where he's like, yeah, you'll never get over this.
Yeah, yeah. And he knows exactly how to push it with everybody. And he never does it with the mom, because I think we were all I was expecting him to try to sleep with the mom.
Well, I thought at the end it was interesting. I actually was surprised that he ended up killing her in the end, because I'm like, if any love story felt believable to me, it was theirs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I also kind of didn't understand why he bothered killing her at that moment when she was already dying.
Right.
I don't know, but
well,
whatever.
No, because, and that's why the jerk off is so important, because it just shows that like Dexter too. It's like, that's his, what he gets off on is murder and winning. It has nothing to do with any person or gender or anything. He's just a psycho.
Yeah, Emerald Fennell is a very funny filmmaker, because also another thing that I really, really laughed at was when he's sitting in the, you know, that sling that they use to take people over to go to the bathroom when they're infirm.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And he's sitting in it smoking a cigarette. Like,
yeah.
That is the funniest shit ever. Like,
I thought it was really funny. And I didn't get the sense that it was like, fuck the middle class, as much as it was just a satire.
It was a satire of how much rich people hate the middle class.
Right. And but I also thought it was, if anybody, like the middle, if anybody, the upper class looks horrible. Like, she lampoons the whole family.
Right. Yeah, for sure. But
so like the perspective isn't her perspective on any of the classes. It's her perspective on how the rich mingle with the middle and or versus lower class.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's why the internet in the US is confused, because they literally have no context for that.
I guess. Yeah, they don't understand, like,
yeah,
middle class is an insult here, which right. is so weird. Like, people, if you want avocado toast here, people will be like, "Oh, you're so middle class." And I'm like, "What is that?"
As if that even means anything other than like, yeah.
Yeah, like, what? Average? What does that mean?
Like normal? Like, what?
It means,
like,
putting on airs. It means getting above your station, because they all have tall poppy syndrome over here.
That's fucking crazy. But, like, okay, does the queen eat avocado toast? Or did she?
No, she ate probably, like, salmon mousse.
Same.
What about, there's also now, and then let's call it a night. There is a TikTok trend, apparently, of, you know, when they first get to the house and Jacob Elordi's giving him the tour, and he's like, "This is a few old Renoirs and blah, blah, blah." And
yeah, yeah.
Was so amazing, by the way. But apparently now kids on TikTok are using that sound to give tours of their parents' houses. And they're just like, it just seems like they're not getting the satire at all. And they're just kind of like showing off their rich houses. And people are very annoyed by that.
Okay, it's only funny to do if you're showing shit that's from IKEA TikTok.
Right. Like, it's, well, that's the thing. They're not trying to be funny. They're just trying to show off their house.
Yeah, that is so fucking lame. Yeah, it would be, shocking me right now. I'm shocked that, and I no longer am upset about being like an old over the hill 30 something uncool again. I'm like, oh shit, like Gen Z is hella confused.
Yeah, well, they're babies. They're little babies. They're very young.
I don't know. It's just like, don't be sex positive and then sex negative about stuff that's actually just like weird filmmaking. And you're missing the point of the satire, bros.
I know. Well, I think also they've been watching porn since they were like 9. So they're really confused.
Well, and there's no like, I'm going to drink your period porn.
Right.
That's kind of interesting, actually.
Right. That's actually,
they have no context for that at all. Whereas we were like, yeah, I didn't even know he was going to go down on me.
Right. Because the thing about this younger generation is they don't actually like have sex IRL.
Right. They have ideas of what sex is and should be.
Right.
They're all pansexual, but they don't have sex. Cool.
Yeah. That is actually probably why it was so shocking to them, because these actually are things that you wouldn't see in a porn.
Oh, we're so fucking smart. Fuck.
It's like, because we went to film school, really.
It's because we went to film school. I agree. Yeah, we're film students. Now, real quick, before we dive off, you want to take a little guess? First of all, I want to know, did this movie affect your opinion of Jacob Elordi in any way?
I'm a big fan of Jacob Elordi. I love him. I love Euphoria.
Yeah. Same.
Someone, like, one of the tweets that was going viral about Saltburn was like, oh, Emerald Fennell has the same issue as, what's his name, Levinson, who does Euphoria. They're not good at writing. They're just good at putting together a good visual. And I'm like, Euphoria is a hit.
The biggest, right.
Saltburn is a hit. I think maybe they know what they're doing. But anyway, I love Elordi. I love him in Euphoria. He's so scary and weird. I really can't wait to see him in Priscilla, the Sofia Coppola.
Yes! Priscilla, so biopic. Excited about that.
It doesn't come out in Europe until like a few days from now. So I need to find a baby-friendly screening and go see it.
I'm so down. Let's do a pod on that. Let's do an app on that. Because I've been obsessed with the Priscilla Alpha story since day one.
Yeah, yeah. I love Elordi. Do you? I just think this one, I was really impressed with his accent work, but I didn't realize he's Australian.
Okay, wait. I'm glad I didn't answer so fast, because I need to get in. Wow, he's Australian.
Yeah,
I like
shocking,
him,
right?
Way more now.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow, actually so talented. Holy moly.
Yeah.
And IRL, he's got that accent. Like, gnar. I really like him. I, in general, tend to shy away from men with thin chins. But
yeah, same.
In this movie, he got me. I was into it. I said, yeah, okay, I'm in love with you too now. Cool. Way to go.
And you know, there's something about him.
Hot. And now that I know he's gnar, yeah, I'm fucking in.
He's not.
Is he too young for us? Definitely too young for us. But that's okay. That's okay. It's not too young. It's just different. It's just different age than us.
You want me to guess his sun and moon?
Yeah. What do you think?
He seems like he takes a really cerebral approach to acting. So I think he's got some Aquarius somewhere.
Mm.
And I don't know. He's so cold. Maybe he's a Capricorn or a Virgo.
So interesting. Okay. I want to keep in mind that, like, we don't even know enough about this young man to, like, really know about, like, the goss about him. So we're really just, Molly is just going off of her instincts in terms of his acting performances.
So I got all really, really wrong.
Very. But I think it's wonderful because I think it's actually like a real testament to his talent, which is larger, okay. More importantly, the point. He is a Cancer full moon, Cancer sun. No, so it was just the Cancer full moon again. His co-star is a Cancer moon. He's a Cancer sun and a Pisces moon.
Oh my God. So he's super emo.
Emo. But not brooding. Even like emo, brooding emo, but then also like he must be like really annoying to date. Like he is like he's like swimming away, floating in and out of reality. He's lucky he's an acting is the only thing this guy can do aside from, you know, shoot up. I'm not really sure.
Right. What would he be doing if he wasn't acting?
Maybe like a preschool teacher.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? Like nurturing the youth somehow, but without way too much responsibility because as a Pisces moon, he's kind of like in his own little dreamland.
Damn. Teacher's aide.
He's in his own little Queensland.
Queensland, Australia.
Nah. That's good. Well, was there anybody else in astrology?
What?
Kerrigan and Mulligan. What do you think? Carrie McGinn and Mulligan. What do you think her sun and moon are?
Cancer, Libra.
So interesting, so wrong. So Carrie,
I just made that up. I pulled
it
out
of my
ass. Yeah, I know.
It's wonderful. Cancer Libra is Barry Keoghan. So Carrie Mulligan, she has her sun in Gemini, Virgo moon, but it's sun in Gemini, exactly conjunct Chiron and Mars, which is why we hate her.
Why?
When you're a public figure.
I don't hate her. I don't hate her, by the way.
I don't hate her. Hate's a really strong word.
I think she's miscast a lot of the time. She was miscast as Daisy Buchanan, and I'll never get over it.
Well, and I guess I'll miscast, another way to put that might just be like overcast with the chance of drizzle from the Mulligan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like random ass part now. Like, I just feel like when you see people that have sun conjunct Chiron, and I'm a Chiron rising, so I have a similar thing, but it's different with rising and sun. Sun conjunct Chiron, there is a wound around how you present. But in Gemini with her Mars, it actually drives her to become an actor. She's like, fine, give me another swirly. I'm just literally doing Shakespeare in my head, preparing for my life, you fucking bully. But yeah, do I think somebody gave her swirlies in high school? For sure.
Okay, this all tracks. I think we've underestimated her. I didn't know she was a Gemini.
Yeah, Gemini sun with her Mars there, with Chiron there. So she's like just taking the wound of her past of being a Virgo moon. She's like wants to be perfect so fucking bad. And I mean, I guess in a way it kind of helps me to understand where she's getting cast in these, what we are thinking as miscast roles, because it's like actually her being like the disappointed woman in her life. She's more disappointed in herself, but she contains that sort of perfectionist obsession.
Okay.
And it'll never be that for her.
I have a healthy, respectful fear of her now.
Yeah, you should have a healthy fear of us. Carrie Mulligan's dangerous. She's over there. All right, great. That's great. She's dangerous in a casting room. She's gonna get the port. Okay, so anyway. That's pretty good.
Okay, great. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast.
And we'll see you back on the Patreon only on Saturday.
What?
I'm trying to sell the Patreon because Saturday's the 30th. Okay, we're going to the 30th.
Oh.
I just want the patrons to know that like we didn't forget about them. We're actually just like going one salt burn at a time.
We never forget about them.
I think statistically it might seem that way, but never again.
No, don't say that because that's going to put that idea in their head.
No, I'm going to cut it, but that's just for us. We definitely have like like 25% Patreon episodes.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's, we don't promise more than that.
Oh, okay. I feel like I maybe have, but that's on me. I'll correct it.
Yeah, no, it's loosey goosey.
Last question. Are we seeing Wonka or not?
Oh, I was supposed to see it, but I couldn't get out of the house in time. I really want to see it.
What do you think? You want to see it? Okay, I only want to see it because if you want to see it, I want to talk about it with you, but otherwise I probably wouldn't see it.
Listen, if I'm going to see it, it's going to be a pirated version because...
Oh, I mean, yeah, dude. Oh my God.
I can't get her out of the house in time for these... The mom and baby screenings they do at some theaters around here. It's at 11 a.m.
That's cute.
I know, it's cute. They leave the lights on a little bit and it's not as loud so that the babies don't get scared. But
titties out, popcorn out.
Right, but it starts at 11 a.m. And I'm like, who's able to get up and out of the house before 11 a.m.? Like, because the thing
is... make it at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, she wakes up at 5 a.m. to eat. We do that for an hour, fall back asleep at 6 until about 9:30, and then she has to eat again for another hour. So we're talking to about 10:30 now. I'm not getting out by 11.
I mean, unless it's like, you know, something really great.
Yeah, like the Beyonce movie. I think I would make it work.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, like.
Yeah, I would make it work for the Beyonce tour.
A limited time only matinee of something.
Right, exactly. I'm also reading Barbara Streisand's memoir.
Really?
It's the same length as Dubliners, Ulysses, and A Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man combined. It's so
wow,
long.
She makes Jada look terse.
It's 23 hours on the Kindle.
That's
I don't even know.
Fucking hilarious.
I think it's 40 something hours on Audible. And the thing is, I kind of wish I was listening to it because it's in her voice, which is obviously
and it's so long.
One of the best talking voices, but like it's too long. And also, I'm in the part where she's going to learning the acting method and going to acting school. And I'm like, oh God, I want to stab my eyeballs out.
You hate that stuff, dude.
But hopefully that part will be over soon. It's very detail laden. Like there are so many little details, which I love. And I
would love to do Babs' chart though. I don't really know. I'm not going to look right now just for time's sake, but if it's a good book, first of all, I will listen to it because Bob, but
yeah, do it. I think you should.
You like it so far? Except we'll skip the boring stuff, I guess.
Yeah. We'll do one.
A book
we'll do,
that long, it's sort of like pick and choose. It's a textbook.
Yeah, we'll do a two-parter. We'll do a public and a patrie.
I'm fucking in.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Perfect.
A star podcast is born. Oh, wait. We didn't get to the most important thing.
What?
Capricorn season, shame of the day. I think we should start collecting our shame so we can get over it before the new year. Before the new season, really. Because Aquarius is like, who cares about your freaking shame? Capricorn's like, we fucking care about our shame. Bradley Cooper was the star of Wet Hot American Summer, duh.
Oh, duh.
Oh, Rabbi West, Sarah Barenberg texted me. She said, I don't mean to shame you further, but...
Sorry. Sorry, Rabbi.
Sorry.
What do you say?
But I will
sorry
say this. Sorry. So anyway. So, what I'm going to say is that unlike Drop Dead Gorgeous, Wet Hot American Summer is one of the big heartbreaks of my life. It does not hold up.
No, it doesn't. I never.
It's not funny anymore, and I'm really, really upset about it.
Here's something crazy. I never watched it as a kid or an adolescent, and I tried to watch it for the first time in college because everyone was so excited about
it. It was
reboot.
The college movie. Yeah, we were all like, drink to it.
Yeah, but I was like, I don't like this. This isn't good because I didn't have the frame of reference of loving it when I was little, you know?
Well, but aside from that, you also, no offense, but like, I don't know about the classism in the UK. The reason that movie hit so hard when it did, I actually only saw it for the first time too when I was in college, but it's about Jewish camp. So if you're a Jew that's been to Jewish camp, the references, now I don't find them as funny, but they are lampooning specifically Jewish camp.
Yeah, and I didn't go to camp.
Right. If you didn't go to camp, and especially if you don't know about Jewish camp, like where I'm from, everybody went to Jewish camp.
Yeah. Why is it so popular?
Even people that weren't Jewish.
Wow.
Because Jews are fun. I could cut that because it's like political now, but we're early in bed. We're fun to go to camp with. We kiss.
Okay. That's good. All right. I got to go because she's flailing.
Goodbye. Hang in there, Dizzy D. Mommy's coming. Okay, join the Patreon. Bye.
Patreon.com/Space Trash Podcast.
Space Trash.
Trash in space.
Space Trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and your rings.
Space Trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.